Join us this Friday on Bread and Roses. Host Nia Nguyen will focus on the way food and culture is affected by imperialism and colonialism. Chef extraordinaire, writer, and host of soon-to-premiere podcast, Race a Sandwich, Soleil Ho, join us for this evocative and tantalizing discussion about how food and culture are shaped by race, class, and gender. Again, this is Bread and Roses, this Friday, April 22nd at 6 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland. This is a membership drive special, so show your love for community radio and for feminist programming by donating.
You're listening to a special edition of Pacific Underground, the show where Asians and Pacific Islanders in Oregon take the mic into our own hands. For this KBOO membership drive special, we're going to tackle one of our favorite issues, Asians and Pacific Islanders in Star Wars, or maybe it's the lack thereof. With the recent trailer release of Star Wars Rogue One, the next Star Wars movie set to come out later this year, Star Wars has been a hot topic among us. Rumor has it that a couple of APIs will be featured in the upcoming movie, and we fanboys and fangirls of Pacific Underground are excited. However, with the lack of history of Asians in Star Wars and excessive Orientalism, we're also keeping our critical eye on the lookout. For the next hour, you'll be hearing a pre-recorded roundtable discussion by members of the Pacific Underground production team. So, get ready to laugh and get your critical thinking caps on with Tabitha, Pamela, Kanan, and Jenna as we nerd out about Asians in Star Wars.
Conversation with Nerd Albert. I don't even know what to call him.
Are we just going to call him Nerd Albert?
Yeah, we'll call him Nerd Albert.
Well, just calling him Nerd Albert.
With my best friend Nerd Albert, and we were talking about Asians in Star Wars, and we were talking about how there is a lack of Asians in Star Wars, and he definitely has opinion. Here's what he has to say.
Okay, we're talking about Asians in Star Wars because there's a few big points we got to talk about. So the first, like in the original trilogy, there's no Asians, right? And then they're really excited for episode one. Like we've been forever since we had a Star Wars movie. And then we go, and slowly your spirit is crushed because things don't seem right. And then you see these racist Asian caricatures that are the Trade Federation guys. And then they have, like, this racist caricature voice. They're like, whatever. And Star Wars is ruined for, like, 10 years. It's terrible.
First thing we talk about is how, in episode 6, the Ewoks apparently speak in Tagalog. And that is, like, one of the few, quote-unquote, Asians in Star Wars. And lucky for us, we have our very own Tagalog speaker, Gopam.
I'm the token Filipino in the room, as I always am. I'm ready for it. I'm ready. You know?
Oh my goodness.
The first clip that was clearly not the right one, I was just like, that's not Filipino. It's not Tagalog. What was that?
It probably wasn't.
They were like, nope. And I was already offended with it, just like, ooh, you know, like whatever kind of what someone is going to classify as tribal sounds.
Right?
Tribal.
Like, go to like savage sounds.
Like generic. These are, you know, the. Oh my God, I can't even say the thing. So then the actual what? It took one word. I'm like, yep, all right, fine, it's Tagalog.
So then we also learned that they're not just only speaking sped up weird, I guess, gibberish Tagalog.
Yeah. Tibetan.
They're also speaking Tibetan, and they're also speaking some sort of like
Central Chinese. Yeah, language.
So the
as well.
Ewoks are so API.
They're like nomadic Asians. They're like the most Asian.
Well, I guess
in
they're like maybe the demographic of Asian, right? The most generic thing, like.
Asians represent on Endor.
If you want to know the only word that I heard that I was like, okay, fine, I concede. I am wrong. I concede. It was Ion.
Ion.
I was just like, oh, never mind.
What
does
that mean?
That's all I needed. I understand it on a body level. On a like Ion. I just realized that it just said there. And like... So I'm pretty sure it is.
So you heard it as like there.
Yeah.
Oh, look, like, there.
Yeah.
A droid in the forest.
Yeah.
Yeah, that we shall worship as a god.
But not. I think that was that first time that they saw him. That's it. Yeah, I want to hear the rest of it.
If you Google it, there's like a whole list of when they say, like, oh, when Leia gives the Ewoks this, the fourth Ewok on the right says blah in Tagalog. So there's just like random moments where you have like them saying just one word or one phrase. So it's not like the Ewoks completely speak Tagalog, but they're there.
Yeah, and the weird thing is, like, when I first saw that movie, I was probably like 7, and I memorized some of those sounds. Like, I could probably like recite them, which is weird.
And oh my gosh, do it!
Has like nothing.
Please
it has nothing
share.
To do with talking about this subject. But one of them is like, ooh,
what?
I'm sorry. How did that go, Kanan? Do it again.
You guys heard me.
Oh my god!
And another one's like,
oh my god,
that sounds like it, right?
I remember specifically one line.
That's like a war cry.
And it was like bee 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 or something like
oh,
that.
Oh yes, I know that one too.
Yeah, that's the only Ewok sound I can remember. Is this just gonna devolve into Ewok sounds? Well, because I also have friends that can do the complete like. So Han Solo and Greedo speech, and someone can do all Greedo's lines.
Okay, let's keep talking about while we're on Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. In addition to Ewok speaking Tagalog, we also have everyone's favorite non-Asian alien, Nien Nub. I'm not even sure if that's how you pronounce it.
I think that is. Yeah.
Nien Nub. Yeah.
Nien Nub.
Okay, so if you've never seen Nien Nub, or you don't know who Nien Nub is, Nien Nub is this like tiny alien who, in Episode 6 at least, because he makes an appearance in Episode 7. So in Episode 6, he's hanging out with Lando Calrissian, and they're going around in the Millennium Falcon, and they're trying to blow stuff up. And he speaks a weird gibberish language. Anyway, but the reason people think he's Asian is because why does he look Asian, Kanan?
He has a ridiculous caricatured face, and he has he has slanty eyes, and he is like, he's just a caricature, like a ridiculous racist caricature of an Asian person. It's like a white person saw an Asian person for the first time ever and was trying to convince his other white friends that this type of person existed, and he found a pencil and paper and like exaggerated every facial feature, and it's terrible. And the especially messed up thing is that everyone that I've talked to about this sees him as Asian.
And you are listening to Pacific Underground here on KBOO, your very own community radio station. I'm Ani. I'm here with Kanan this afternoon, and we are asking for your support to come in to really make this kind of programming possible, to help support the entire radio station that brings you news and public affairs, music and radio theater, poetry, literary arts, performing arts, culture, information, social change work. That is the essence of what we are about and what we are asking you to join right now with your pocketbook. Call us at 877-500-5266, 877-500-5266, or online you can join us at kboo.fm. Right now, go ahead and pick up the phone and take a leap of faith. Do a little monthly donation. If you are able to give us, if you look in your wallet and you have $5 right now, you can take that leap of faith and go ahead and pledge that $5 to KBOO for this month, next month, the month after that, and keep it going. Become a monthly sustaining contributor of KBOO Community Radio. It adds up to $60 in the course of a year. Just $5 a month out of your credit card or out of your checking account. Your money is put in service of your entire community right here. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. Hey, Kanan, thanks for joining me.
Hey, Ani. I really just can't stress how much being a part of Pacific Underground, getting the training here at KBOO, and feeling like I have the support from everyone has like just really created this invaluable space for me. I feel really indebted. I really just am really grateful for KBOO and all that it stands for. So I got involved with KBOO in the evening news department, and I came in with virtually no chops at all, and in no time I was trained up. This was an amazing thing for me. I feel so lucky, and I encourage you to go and right now play your part. If you haven't contributed already, please, please do so. Call 877-500-5266. If you're on the web right now listening, streaming, first, thank you, and please, please consider securely contributing online.
And you can do that easily, kboo.fm. Hit that donate ribbon up there in the right-hand corner of our brand-new website, beautiful website. And right now, we could use your support. Kanan was talking about how he was able to jump right in and get involved in the news department and build the skills so that he can actually become a producer, one of the producers of this new public affairs show. And we're excited about that. Kanan, you've been here for about 4 months now?
Yeah, four is generous.
Yeah, okay. It's like, I think you came in January. I think that's what I'm remembering.
Yeah.
And it's exciting to see you get involved. It's exciting to see you build those skills. And this is one of the privileges I get as being the volunteer coordinator. I get to meet all these wonderful people that are passionate about news and information and music in their communities and to find their place here to be able to build those skills so that they can share stories, information, news, culture, music, all of that here through the auspices of this community broadcast resource. And the way that we are able to do this, my friends, is with your generous contribution right now. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. We are looking to raise $200 for the Pacific Underground this evening. You can do it right now. Be a part of that. 877-500-5266.
Everyone that I've talked to about this sees him as Asian.
Yeah, like when I was a kid, I thought he was Asian. Like, I didn't think that he wasn't Asian until this last week when Kanan brought him up as, this is a problematic character. I was like, oh my God, I thought that that was an Asian alien. So what we have is a clip of Nia Nub speaking. And I mean, I don't know if it's significant or whatever, but this is the gibberish she speaks. Okay, so that doesn't like necessarily sound like any sort of language.
It's sped
that
up
I can
and
identify.
Reversed. I feel like this is a Missy song. Why? I don't understand. Like it's
he puts his bling thing
down,
flips
and reverses
it.
Definitely sounds like it's sped up.
So it's his appearance more than his made up language.
Well, and then like the other thing about him that makes him really problematic for a lot of people is that he's kind of like a caricature of the, you know, like
Asian
the Jap folk character from like World War II thing. We have like the buck tooth and like the overly exaggerated slanty eyes. And then the worst part about him is that he's always giggling. He's always like, oh, 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 oh. And he's like, there's all these scenes. You can even like find a YouTube video of somebody making a compilation of just all his giggling scenes. So he's like this terrible caricature of like the most racist, like kind of Asian from the 1930s and 40s. So, but you know, I identified with him as a kid. He was my Asian alien.
Yeah, I like the first time I saw Jedi, like, even though I know these are supposed to be aliens, but I thought, oh, he looks the close out of all the characters, he looks the closest to me. And I always felt like his dowels looked kind of like he was wearing like those Chinese opera masks. And yeah, like, Maybe I was like thinking too much into it. It's like, oh, he's an Asian alien.
But you want to see something disturbing? When you put him all on one page, he looks super creepy, right?
Yeah,
he by
does.
Himself. Yeah, but now he's like in episode 7, and he's gonna like have his own thing.
Yeah,
and he somehow like got younger, right?
Why was
he got younger in episode 7?
Yeah, I thought the makeup there was a makeup change because
yeah, he got taller.
Oh my god,
he looked a little different in episode 7. I was really happy to see him when he made a cameo in episode 7. Like, ah, Nian.
Moving on, there's also Ekilark Yong, who is the Y-wing pilot, and He's flying a Y-wing at the same time.
And this is the Return of the Jedi, right?
Yeah, same time, same movie. It's a trap, obviously. Admiral Akbar says it. And then, like, 15 seconds later, he says this.
There's too many of them. I'm here!
And so he immediately, like, dies.
Phil Marin does those good YouTube videos where they show the only lines spoken by people of color in movies. And it's like...
I love the one for Return of the King. Because there are no people of color.
I know, like, right? Zoops. I was about... Wouldn't that be like a one-second video?
It's a nine-second video where they show you nothing. It's fantastic.
Oh, man.
That's awesome. And then this is like... Wait, what? Okay, so for all of just the original trilogy, all of the Asians sound like what? It's... There's too many of them.
Ah. I'm hit!
I'm hit.
Well, and the thing is... Like,
and Eon!
Like, it takes... Because this is, you know, was the third movie that came out, episode six, and so it took three movies before an Asian person had a speaking line, and then he dies 6 seconds later.
And he's dying, yeah.
And he's not even credited in the credits.
Oh, he's not? Aww.
Yeah. So you weigh all those movies, and then what you're left with is either being satisfied that your one Asian guy had a glorious 6 second death, or that you got a creepy Asian alien. Everybody wins.
Yay, representation in media.
Sorry. So in the original first two movies, there are absolutely no APIs. None. But just like the honorary alien that happens in episode six, I had an honorary alien from episodes one and two, or four and five when they first came out, and that was Yoda, because he reminded me of my great-grandfather when I was a kid.
I also always kind of... interpreted Yoda as like those Shaolin or maybe a Buddhist monk, that hermit that just sits on a mountain cave, meditates for 50 years, and is suddenly like enlightened, knows everything, and he's going to teach you the ways of the Force.
Rejoice for those around you who transform into the Force. Mourn them, do not. Miss them, do not. Attachment leads to jealousy. The shadow of greed, that is.
Well, I mean, I guess, like, Asian mysticism kind of weaves its way into Star Wars through the Force. And I've heard comparisons of, like, chi energy being a kind of inspiring for, like, the Force and what it is. Something that's all around you. And those that are sensitive can use it to manipulate their surroundings.
So you can have the chi force, but you can't be Asian.
I know, you can't be Asian.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, I see how it goes. All the force being reserved for all the white people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because trying to think of, even though we all don't want to remember the prequel movies, but when they show, like, the Jedi Council, I... don't think I remember any API Jedi members.
There's only one, and she is only in like one scene in Attack of the Clones episode
Does she die?
Two. Maybe they don't address it, and no one seems to know, not even on Wikipedia. She's a Jedi, and she like runs into the ring. It's like the Battle of Geonosis. It's a 2 second pan. I think she has like two scenes where she's like flipping around and using a lightsaber. So that's cool. You're listening to KBOO Portland. It is our spring membership drive. If you are near a phone, we encourage you to call right now. Please do it, 877-500-5266. Please donate if you have not already. If you've been wavering back and forth, this is the time to do it. If you're online, go to kboo.fm. In addition, as if this time weren't exciting enough, we have some custom commissioned artwork. If you're a listener to Pacific Underground, the show that you're listening to right now, we interviewed Albert Nguyen. Albert Nguyen's an API artist. He's out of the Bay Area. He specializes in taking figures from comic books, from movies, and putting them in different situations. You may have heard about the one featuring Darth Vader crossing the Delaware instead of George Washington. Well, he created some custom ink work for us. They're 8x10 posters They're one of a kind. One is of Captain of America. The Kabu radio tower is in the background. The other one is Batman. He's just perched on a ledge holding bat thing. And they're just incredible. They're online. If you go to our Facebook, you will see what they look like, and you will not be able to control yourself. And so we ask that you contribute $240 right now or $20 a month. And the first two listeners to do that have the opportunity to take home one of these. If you're the first one, you get to choose which one you want, Captain America or Batman.
And they are super cool. I got to see them just a little while ago. Beautiful. Awesome. And I'm so excited that this artist, you know, has donated this work to the station so that we can ask you to support the station and give you a little enticement, give you a little something back for that support. Just $20 a month. If you think about what you can spend 20 bucks on, that would bring you the amount of enjoyment, the rich cultural depth, the importance, really, to the area, to the world that KABU brings. How do we do that? Well, for 48 years, we've been doing it through grassroots support. It's listener-supported radio. You are the grassroots, and you are what allows us to be fiercely independent, to produce these kinds of quality programs with volunteers who are coming in and getting the training at the station so that they can, in fact, create the programs that we need in our lives to enrich us, so that we can learn about each other, so that we can analyze pop culture, so that we can dig deeper into what is going on in the world around us and create positive social change. That is the essence of KABU, and right now we are giving you the opportunity to be a part of that, a very integral part. 877-500-5266.
So I don't know if you know this, but Portland has 33 AM and FM radio stations, but just five corporations own 85% of them. So those corporations are all based outside of Oregon and have no local community connections. That is the antithesis of KABU. KABU is community radio. That means you, me, our neighbors, not some corporation in some faraway city. This is our station. This is our community. Please, if you have not already done so, call right now. 877-500-5266. Again, there is some incredible artwork that you could stand to win.
Right now. It's so cool. I'm Ani. I'm here with Kane, and I don't know if we ever actually mentioned that because we're both so entirely engaged in this artwork. And also in just really letting you know the importance of KABU and how, in fact, we can't do it without you. But with your support, we grow stronger. Each and every one person adding their resources into the rest of the community, you know, inch by inch, row by row, right? That's how these things work. And right now we're asking you to do your part and to support this program. It's a new program on KABU. We're extremely proud of it. The volunteers are tremendous here, and they are coming together to produce this new show, and it edifies us all. KABU, we build bridges. That's what we do. We inform each other. That's what we do, and we do it with your support so that we can remain independent. This is, in fact, the essence of community radio. Please be a part. 877-500-5266 or online, KABOO.FM. It is essential that you act now, right? We are looking to raise $200 for this new program, and we can do it with your support. 877-500-5266. Bring your credit card to the phone and become a member of Community Radio instantaneously. Just you can do that securely. You can do that in a monthly way, or you can give us that one-time contribution on your credit card. However you want to do it, we want to make it easy for you. You can also drop by 20 Southeast 8th Avenue and come on in, meet the people that make the radio, get a tour of the station, see about actually becoming a volunteer here at KABU yourself. There's always room for more. We want your participation. You know, independent media, it's not a spectator sport. You got to get involved to keep it going and to keep it vital and lively and relevant. And right now, you do it by calling 877-500-5266, online, KBOO.FM, or drop by 20 Southeast 8th Avenue between Burnside and Ankeny on beautiful scenic Southeast 8th. Just come on in or give us a call. Join that person right now. Get that second line ringing, 877-500-5266.
I don't know, did anybody else feel uncomfortable when you first saw the movie? maybe, like, because when I saw the movie, I was a teenager, and I remember being really, really freaking excited that episode one was coming out. It had been a long time.
I was really excited.
Right? It was the most exciting thing. And then...
like, this is how it all happened.
Yeah, and then Amidala came out, and she was just what... and was so obviously an Oriental outfit to me. I mean, it... I've read the same thing. It's this Korean Chinese inspired thing. Her like crazy awesome hair is a Mongolian tradition, Mongolian style. And while I thought that was all really neat fashion wise, I had this really uncomfortable pit of my stomach feeling while I was watching that first movie. I just remember everything came out and I was like, oh, I'm getting uncomfortable, because it was like, why is that white lady dressed up like a Korean, Mongolian, Chinese lady? Oh my God, it's getting worse and worse and worse. Because then you get the Trade Federation people.
All sorts of sounds. That is a good point. Because, yeah, when they introduced the Trade Federation, once again, sure, they're aliens, but the way they're dressed, and also they have those slanty eyes, it's like...
and the way they speak. Let's talk about... wait, yes, hold on. The way we have a clip
Albert,
of that.
Albert actually had something to say about that, so let's play what he said, and then we'll play what they say, and... oh, God.
Yeah, the Trade Federation guys felt super racist. He's an Asian caricature, because he's still wearing that Oriental, like, dress, right? I wonder if the voice actor, like, that did it straight the first time, and then George Lucas was like, no, this isn't racist yet. We gotta up the racism here.
She's right. The Senate will never...
it's too
late now. Do you think she suspects an attack?
I don't know, but we must move quickly to disrupt all communications down there.
But yeah, we're talking about the Trade Federation folks and why, oh no, the Jedi, and why they all have like some weird pseudo-Asian accent and their pseudo-Asian clothing. And so like that combination with like the Queen Amidala and then the Trade Federation people and like the weird Orientalism about all of it made me so uncomfortable.
Also the Jedi's costume too, they look kind of like gi. And once again, like being worn by these two white guys whose like religion and abilities are kind of inspired by Asian martial arts and mysticism and philosophy. So why couldn't you have all this Asian inspired stuff? Why couldn't you have some actual Asians on the screen?
Because that would be easy.
Yeah,
I want to keep talking about these guys, especially Newt Gunray.
Who's Newt Gunray?
Newt Gunray is the lead Trade Federation dude, and he's wearing like an Oriental robe. His like sidekick is like super deferential to Darth Sidious, and like this like really stereotypical, like it seems to me that they're like drawing from like Japanese culture or something. Like I don't know, they like saw like one too many movies of like the minister that's like, oh, yes, sir. Yes, my lord. And, like, it's just, like, it's not... they're not even trying to hide it like they were with the Ewoks or with anything else. And they also incorporate bowing, you know?
That's what I was going to say. Like, I was thinking about their gestures and their movements. And, you know, like, from my recollection, I might need to watch the clip again. But they're, like, clasping their hands a lot. And, yeah, the bowing and... yeah, what you're saying, how, yeah, one was very deferential. The inferior was very deferential to his superior.
Who happens to be a white old man, a very powerful white old man.
Okay, my last beef with Phantom Menace, especially when it comes to the Amidala clothing, what really just freaking kicked me in the lady parts when I saw that first movie was how it ended. So you saw all the red. It was very, very Asian, right? You had all the red and the gold, and that was showing her imperialism, right? And then you get to the last scene, and now she's in this all-white outfit, this kind of like this whitish, pinkish thing, and it looks very like Euro. And all of a sudden, she's in this very Euro dress with her, like, Euro thing going on. I'm like,
does it look
everything's
like there are,
great.
Like, feathers on her cape?
Yes,
yeah,
that
I
one.
Know which outfit you're talking
so
about.
So it's like, wow, when everything's great and everybody's better and everything is safe, she's going to wear white, of which if they really were going with the Asian theme, they wouldn't have kept that up. But so instead, she then turns into Queen Elizabeth at the end is what I think of it as. So, yay.
Just for people to know, white meaning, like, that's the color of funeral clothes.
Yes. Yeah.
And then in the other two prequel movies, like, I don't think they dress her up in any Asian-inspired clothing. The rest of it is, like, very European, like, pre-Raphaelite clothing.
The weird thing about her dress to me is that, like, even though I was way too young to, like, be processing any of this and noticing it, still, like, weirded out that every single scene she showed up in, she was in a different dress, and there wasn't any, like, common thread. It was just, like, she, like, just got back from, like, an exotic place and decided to appropriate their crazy formal wear.
Actually, also speaking about Amidala's clothing, her makeup, too. I wonder, it's like, she's also in, like, this white face.
Right, what's that about?
Yeah, is she supposed to look like a geisha?
That's what I thought. Isn't it, Jenna, isn't that, like, a Korean dress?
It is. It's a traditional, like, Korean style of makeup, I think, from, like, a nobility kind of level. And I think you can still see it traditionally when people are wearing the white face. If you haven't seen it, it's the white face with the two red dots and the little, like, red. And that's also, like, a Mongolian thing as well.
Okay.
So, yeah, I like this idea that she's going around the universe just appropriating.
It's apparently, like, oh, that looks cool. I'll take some of
that. Yeah, apparently she's going off to their exotic Asian land, wherever that is, and just bringing back all the gold.
Oh, yeah, what we don't see is that she has her own, like, TV show, like, between the battles, and she's, like, totally showing off all of her new dresses that she stole.
Yeah.
If I can finally have something... No, I'm kidding. So I'm absorbing everything that y'all are saying, and mostly because I love just forgetting the first, episode 1-3. I love forgetting it. It's awesome. I'm wondering if... why it's all there, all the Orientalism is that for this space fantasy, almost space opera, that is the most foreign thing that you could put up there. And when you really look at what white people think as foreign, it's Asian culture, and it's this thing that is allowed to be... like, you are allowed to admire the aesthetics of Asian culture. Like, you can be a white person, like, no. I just really love, you know, like, the way these, you know, cherry blossoms, and then this, you know, whatever it could be, like, whatever it is, where you are able to appreciate the beauty of a culture without the bodies, without the actual people
or faces
in them, right? So, like, the actual, like, you're not caring about people being people, and he would not have been able to do that for African cultures, different kinds of various African cultures you can put in, and that's not familiar to people. It's not going to be European. It's not what mainstream culture is familiar with, but God help it, you know, for them, this is still also racist, you know. They're not putting people up. It's not like, oh yes, please appropriate African culture. That's not what we're saying. Well, but it's the idea that they don't want to show space, or maybe this kind of idea of a very stylized, civilized kind of world with African cultures, which is anti-blackness in itself. And when you look at how they even put the Ewoks in there, it's like, ooh, look at the savage planet of this. And that's when you get something that's, at least when you look at it, it's sort of like, you know what? The Ewoks forgot, you know, they were happy. Like, they're up in there, they're fine, they're dancing, they're eating, it's fine. Everybody's happy.
They get to befriend all the white people, and they're friends forever.
You know,
you can make a kids movie about it afterwards.
Yay.
So yeah, that's all that I can think of.
I feel like in sci-fi, I get the sense that to include the actual people that you're drawing these cultural references from would be to, like, almost undermine this exotic vision of, like, a crazy other world that could perhaps, like, be a part of the future that we get to experience. Not we, because we're all going to die, but that we get to someday experience. And, like, to have, like, a China planet or something would be, like, not received well by, like, white people.
You can't even do it with Avatar. You can't even, they won't let us have the Airbender, the last Airbender movie, with actual
Asian folks,
people.
Yeah.
In Ghost in the Shell.
Or as,
oh,
heroes,
my God, I read,
know,
that article
heroes,
today. Oh, the Ghost in the Shell. It's like,
sorry, we're getting to the thing. But the thing...
No, I like this discussion.
I know, I do. And it's the thing about Dang, I got lost until Ghost in the Shell. There was something I totally forgot. Oh, so I totally understand what you're talking about when it comes to sci-fi, but what has yet to make it maybe to TV and cinematic kind of universes are the amazing stuff that Octavia Butler does. And when you can look at futuristic sci-fi worlds like that and imagine them, you know, populated by Black people, it's beautiful. Like this, the world that she could create, and other people too, it's possible, but for some reason only in books. I'm trying to imagine, like, okay, so let's say for some reason we got a whole bunch of money and somebody told us that we can write a Star Wars Rogue II movie.
Woohoo!
How would we write a Star Wars movie with Asians and that isn't anti-Black?
The main character would be a person of color, a woman of color.
Can we point out that when we watch both the trailers, so The Force Awakens and Rogue One, yeah, they look alike. The female protagonists, they look pretty similar.
And I think they're also both British.
Yep.
Yeah.
So they look and sound a little bit alike. Doe-eyed. Sassy.
Yeah.
But there are going to be at least Asians in Star Wars when it comes to episodes 7. There was Ken Leung, who was an officer for the Resistance.
Yeah. And he had like 2 lines, right?
He had lines. Play it, Kanan.
In order for that amount of power to be contained, that base has to have some kind of thermal oscillator. If we can destroy that oscillator, it might destabilize the core and cripple the weapon.
This is Force Awakens, right?
Yeah. This is Force Awakens with Ken Leung. The kind of problematic thing is that, like, yay, we finally have a character who has a name, who is credited. But it's kind of like, wow, when we finally get an Asian guy who gets to speak, who is he? He's basically like the science officer, and we're going to him for like the technical answers. It's like, oh, great.
Yay, because Asians are always good at math.
Right, and I bet he's like the local computer programmer. Is he the IT guy? Mm-hmm.
Is that really what his position in the Resistance is?
No, he's a senior officer in the Resistance, but they might as well call him the senior IT guy.
Okay.
I'm happy for a lot of things. I'm happy for Finn. I'm happy, when you have it's Oscar Isaac, right? Actor for Poe.
Yes, that was Oscar Isaac.
So you have Oscar Isaac. I think he is a Central American actor.
That's correct.
Nicaraguan or Guatemalan.
Yeah, I don't remember what country his lineage is.
Okay.
So Guatemalan American.
So you got Guatemalan American representing. You got that. But honestly, you could have had just a real sassy Asian guy being one of the like rogue pilots, the rebel pilots.
There is one. Jessica Henwick. Jessica Henwick is an X-wing pilot.
Yeah, I remember.
And I think she's
Filipino.
Was,
yeah,
and she doesn't die in the
like
2 seconds after she's introduced.
Jessica! I did remember that. I did. You lived more than 6 seconds. You are light years ahead.
Maybe in episode 8, they can. She and Poe can like
live through a whole scene.
I know. Woo!
You're listening to KBOO Portland. You're in the middle of our spring membership drive. If you have not done so already, please give us a call and make your pledge. 877-500-5266. My name is Kanan. I'm here with Ani. I am the one you've been listening to. I am the nerd that you've been listening to. We're hanging out in the studio at 20 Southeast Avenue. There are at least 2 of us from the show hanging out here. Please come by and meet us. Get the lowdown on the show. If you're just tuning in, we have an amazing offer right now. There are 2 custom commissioned pieces of artwork from an artist that was on our show 2 months ago. His name is Albert Nguyen. He's out of the Bay Area. He's a huge nerd, and he is also a huge fan of our show and a supporter. He customly made 2 ink prints, 8x10, one of Batman holding his bat thing perched in Portland.
Bat-a-rang.
The bat rang.
Bat-a-rang.
And the Portland, Oregon sign with the deer jumping is in the background. There's another one that I really, really like and wish I could take home that is of Captain America. And he is just standing gloriously in the foreground. The Kabu Tower is in the background. We ask that you donate $240 at once, or that's just $20 a month. That's just, you know, that's not very much money to contribute each month. You can get an auto debit out of your account. You don't even have to think about it. And you will take home one of these amazing pieces of artwork. So if you're listening right now, there's a good chance that you're a huge nerd or know someone who is. And this is the pledge you're looking for. Move along. Call now. Call 877-500-5266 or go to the web at kboo.fm.
I'm so excited to be here right now. I can't even tell you because I'm a total nerd. I've been a nerd my whole life. I've actually organized sci-fi conventions. Okay. And I'm loving the discussion. I think it's super important to bring analysis to pop culture and to nerd culture. And I am loving the show. I love what you're doing with it. And I'm totally excited about the artwork. I would have gone for the Batman myself.
I think I would have too, even though I can't remember what the Batarang was called.
Batarang. Anyway, they're awesome. $20 a month. That's what can do it. That support coming into KABU is so important. Right now, we are looking to raise $200 actually for this show. So your contribution would put us over the top. Right now, we have about $150 left to make. And, 20 minutes to do it. So if you call right now with that $20 a month support, you could take your choice of the Batman or the Captain America print that we were just talking about. You know that your money is being put to good use in service to your entire community so that we can keep having thoughtful discussions. And they're thoughtful, they're fun, they're informative, they're important, and it's really super good. You can be a part of this right now. Just dial 877-500-5266.
Excited. I mean, like, in Force Awakens, you have the, what is the name of the dudes who attack Han Solo?
Oh. Kanji Club?
Oh, something. Those two gang members. Okay, now
yeah,
I
so
remember.
You have those
They're
guys.
Thugs.
The thugs. So you have the thugs, and, you know, they get some speaking lines. I mean, they get eaten by the monster about, like, 2 minutes later. But whatever, they get some lines. But then at the same time, for me, it was problematic when I saw it. Maybe it's just because I like to say it all is problematic, but the other time then you finally have some Asian representation, they're still the martial arts guys. Well, Albert definitely has an opinion about that.
It is problematic, but I guess you got to take your baby steps through problematic territory before you get to good territory, right? So first you get the science nerds, and then you get like the martial arts guys, and then hopefully one day, 50 years from now, we'll have an Asian Star Wars actor that is just a normal guy. But I think we're still decades away from Asian male, just normal guy.
So if I could sum up, it's not that we want all Asian-ish characters to be the hero. It's not about, okay, we just don't want them to be the villain. It's that these actual characters are not real characters. They're kind of just in the background. They're plot devices. They're carrying through anything else.
Yeah. Just so the studio can say, like, we have diversity in our films.
They're, again, plot devices, and they're not actual three-dimensional characters.
Yeah, they're not people.
Yeah. Fleshed-out characters.
Yeah. You just, like, when you're writing something, like, somebody has to say really scientific information right now. Let's get Ken Long.
I think, like, the thing that always has confused me about the Star Wars world in general is that you'll see, say, like, a token Asian in the background. But, let's say you see one Asian guy. I'm like, where did that one Asian guy come from? Right? Because there's always just like one token Asian in the background. I'm like, what are they from, like, some other parallel universe? Like, why aren't there like three Asians? Why is there only just one? And this, they, I think they just like magically sprout out of the ground or something, because they don't seem to come from any community or any place. They all just individually exist. So I don't know. They're all like miracle babies or something. You just pop out an Asian kid. Oops.
Whoa. Yeah.
Or if you like need a thug or like a kung fu master or some like token role, you just you pluck one out and you either put a costume on him or you exoticize him or tokenize him so much that he just becomes like a symbol and less an actual like multidimensional character, like you guys are saying. There is an Asian man in Jabba's palace. He's like standing right behind Boba Fett. He's wearing like a red headband. It's like totally Street Fighter style, and he has a bandolier around his torso. And you don't like, you would never see him unless you were like watching that movie at like half speed or something,
and specifically scanning the background characters.
In other words, if you were like a huge, huge nerd,
and that's why you noticed it.
Well, you noticed it. I just want to bring up that when, so all of us, let's just say that all of us are, as much as the census can say, that we are adults here, by age. So we're adults and we can look at these films from either our childhood or even just recent films. And I think we can reflect on what the effect of not seeing yourself in fleshed out three-dimensional characters is. The experience of not having that growing up over however many decades, and not even having someone that you can necessarily relate to when you're watching things. I watched the TV movies with the Ewoks as a kid. Clearly, I totally forgot that I actually never watched as a kid Star Wars. I totally thought I did because I still had the Ewoks lunchbox. But no, I guess I just watched those terrible Ewoks movies. But anyways, with like the blonde child and whatnot. So beautiful. Anyway, so there's nothing for me to relate to. I'm seeing like these like beautiful little blonde cherubic, you know, like white kids with the Ewoks. I'm clearly not relating to the Ewoks either. So the effect for us is sort of, you can on one hand have this reaction of, oh my God, ah, finally. And it's this kind of long awaited like relief mixed with gratitude. Then it kind of turn sour, like, oh, they only gave us this guy, they only gave us the thugs and the scientists, and then it's just like, oh, we should be then back to like maybe we should be grateful. And then it all comes down to, so something I'm listening to you say, like, you have to look for them. So it's not like white people are going like, I want to look for the Asians like in Star Wars. It's that we, being people of color, that we are looking for reflections of ourselves, that we want to be able to see ourselves in the art that we consume. And when we don't see it, it also unintentionally gives us the message that we don't belong there and that we don't belong in kind of mainstream culture and the culture that other people kind of consume. And so then you also then keep furthering that message of, well, maybe I won't try out for those parts in theater or commercials or whatever it could be, because they're not going to pick me anyway. And furthermore, so I love that we can always bring it back to other shows on KBOO. But so I heard an Asian American young actress who was cast in Junie B. Jones here in Portland. And when she was talking in studio, she talked about how this is the first thing that she ever auditioned for. And she didn't think that she was going to get it because she didn't look like the book character, meaning she didn't look like the character as drawn, who is a fictional character on the book cover. And so she was surprised, but obviously happy. But that kind of expectation that we're never actually meant to be somewhere because we haven't seen us somewhere, it's very damaging. It actually hurts, you know, our sense of self. It hurts us collectively. So yeah, that's my spin.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, This is the membership drive. It's spring. It's already here. We're trying to raise money so we can continue bringing you this amazing programming. Please pick up the phone. Give us a call, 877-500-5266, and make your pledge. If you weren't already aware, it is 420, and you're listening to programming about Star Wars. Just take that into consideration and think about the gifts that are here for you. Adam in Southeast Portland already claimed the Batman poster. I'm sorry, but if you are a bigger fan of Captain America, you're in luck. Captain America is in the foreground of this custom commissioned poster. It's ink. It's made by a really good friend, Albert Nguyen, and out of the Bay Area. It's 8x10. All you have to do is pledge $20 a month. You can do it. You can do it automatically. You know, it'll just come out of your account every month. You won't have to give it another thought. You just have to act now and give us a call. The number is 877-500-5266. If you're on your computer and you don't want to pick up your phone, I totally understand that. You can also get that pledge going. Just head to kboo.fm.
And, you know, the good news is Batman might be gone. Adam may have claimed Batman, but Captain America remains, right? So, again, you can pick that up for your $20 a month contribution to KBOO, your community radio station. We're having a lot of fun down here. But we're also, you know, KBOO, the inherent values that KBOO sort of wraps our programming around, wraps our business affairs around, what we do, our guiding values are peace, justice, democracy, human rights, multiculturalism, environmentalism, freedom of expression, and social change. And if those are values that are actually important to your life, and I'm going to guess they are because that's why you're listening, then know that you are supporting those values. You are actually aligning yourself with an organization that is advocating for positive social change, that advocates multiculturalism, that looks at things from a variety of perspectives that are neglected and controversial and left out of the mainstream commercial-owned, corporate-owned press. How do we do all this? We do it with your grassroots support. We are the grassroots CS radio station around, and right now we are asking you to become one of those members, one of our contributors that allows us to remain fiercely independent and to actually create wonderful, thoughtful, thought-provoking, and insightful and inciting programming, public affairs, news, and music, all of it. You can be a part of it when you dial 877-500-5266. It is such a labor of love down here. It's about 500 volunteers coming in to keep the station going day in and day out. They are the voices you hear behind the microphones. They are the program producers and creators. They are the people that are behind the scenes. Right now, we got Brian, we got Sean. They are in the air room. They are making sure that you are hearing things at a consistent level. They're signing FCC logs. And they've all been trained in how to do this here at KBOO through your donations, through your contributions. You are allowing this amazing community legacy to continue on. We have actually a couple generations here tonight, a youth collective member and a dad, all volunteering, all at the same time, doing various things, different things around the radio station. And I think that's super cool. Be a part of it right now. Call 877-500-5266 or online, kboo.fm.
So you may have found us just by cruising around the dial, and you can probably already tell how different KBOO sounds from other radio stations just because you haven't gotten hit by a bunch of canned advertising. So this is what sets us apart. This is a real community. This is a community that you can be a part of with a very relatively small contribution that you can make today by picking up the phone. Give us a call, 877-500-5266, kboo.fm on the web. We sound different because listeners like you financially support keeping us independent and commercial free. We want to stay that way. If you're a new listener, welcome. It's support from listeners like you that keeps us going. Please join our listener-supported community. If you're stoked that it is 420, we have some gifts that are 420 related, including a grow kit, water pipe, tie dyes, the works.
And it's $35 a month. Let's break it down. It is a monthly donation. It's almost a dollar a day. And we used to say that if you gave a dollar a day, you'd be a hero for KBOO. If you give us the $35, actually, it's a little bit more than a dollar a day. $35 a month does add up to $420 a year. Here we are on 420. How great can it be? All right. So your contribution of $35 a month gets you tie-dyes, as Kanan was saying, water pipe grow kit, surprises, and a late night radio MP3. So right now we're asking you to go ahead and join us. And consider that level, $35 a month, $20 a month, pick up the Captain America print. But do it right now. We have 5 minutes left for Pacific Underground. Call us, 877-500-5266.
It's very damaging. It actually hurts, you know, our sense of self. It hurts us collectively. And then it even hurts more. Like, we're already hurt, but, like, then you have, sorry I have to say fanboys, because I could swear there are no fangirls saying this. Then you have fanboys getting real mad anytime you change the race of a character, let's say in an adaptation, or, God forbid, what you actually did is actually put one Asian somewhere. And, oh, why are we trying to be PC? Why are we trying to, you know, have just this one thing here? Why are they forcing us to consume this political correctness? Why can't it just be geeky? So, yeah, that's my spiel.
And then, you know, when we do get roles, they're every single time disappointing in one way or another. Like, we can look forward to Rogue One because it's going to be out relatively soon and has, like, at least two API characters that are, like, at the fore. And then, you know, it turns out that they are, you know, I don't know enough about them and I haven't geeked out enough yet to know, like, how front and center they're going to be and how, like, multidimensional they'll ultimately be. But, you know, one, I think, is blind and is holding a staff. So, like, instant trope.
Yeah.
And then another one, I can't really tell, but he kind of looks like a Ronin samurai holding a blaster.
That's what I was thinking.
And so it's like, and then so people have that reaction. It's like, oh, well, you know, at least we're here, baby steps. It's like, no, I can't accept baby steps. Like, why can't we just like immediately have a character? And why can't people just deal with it, even though it's uncomfortable?
Why can't we just actually have an Asian character having a romance in the movie with whatever? Even, oh my gosh, I would have loved that Finn Poe thing if, you know, there was like an Asian up in there. Like, they're shipping two men, which I love on the internet, and you couldn't, I mean, I'm so happy they're, I mean, it's who they
happy
are
happy with your table scraps.
One thing I do love about nerds, and the thing that nerds often do, is that they will fill in that space for people of color often that the mainstream movie doesn't do. So, like, when you look at the original Star Wars movie, they don't really flesh out a lot of the characters. However, if you go in and you super nerd out, you will find that there is, like, a comic book for almost every secondary, tertiary character that's out there. So you have characters like Nia Num, or however you pronounce his name, you know, he actually gets, like, a really fleshed out story.
And fan fiction and fan art.
Exactly. And so, you know, that's why you get that. Like, you get, like, the lieutenant, what's his name? Telsij, the one Asian guy who dies and only gets 6 seconds in episode 6. But he, like, has a whole backstory line that nerds have created for him just because they love him so much because he only gets the two lines. And so it's like, even when we don't get that from one place, people of color are filling it in the other places. And so I feel like that's one thing that does keep me attracted to Star Wars and the whole geek nature of things.
Yeah, like, okay, this isn't related to Star Wars, but I have a black friend who recently did an Emma Frost cosplay. And I thought, like, she posted pictures and she looked amazing.
See, this is what I love. This is why cosplaying is awesome. You can just, like, be anybody.
Yeah.
Language establishes character. Composer John Williams takes a short course in Ewokese from Ben Burtt, who invented all the Star Wars dialects.
Time is now 7 p.m. You're tuned in to KBOO Portland. Next, Hard Knock Radio.
You've been listening to a special
Cable
production
would like to thank
by Pacific
our community
Underground.
Partners that donated
the
food
segment
for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Lair Hill
Special
Bistro,
thanks to the entire Pacific
located
Underground
located at 2823
for the
Southwest
discussion.
First Avenue, a family-owned eatery serving food just outside downtown Portland,
who engineered the show today. You can find more about us on Facebook and Twitter at PAC Underground. You can also download our podcast on SoundCloud and iTunes. Tune in for our regular broadcast this Friday, April 22nd at 11 a.m. for an all-new episode of Pacific.